time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You're now talking with TD. We are back from the bye. Yes, sir. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. It is game week. You got the Titans and Texans. We got DJ Bianime, ESPN, NFL Nation, Texans reporter. We got Chris Sanders, Fish Eye Fool, for Run TMC. We got me. We got you. And we got Connor Newt in the building. What's up with you, man?
Yes, sir. What's up, TD?
Nothing much, man. It's another week, another opportunity to talk shop. So you know I'm happy about that, man. And I think when you look at this Titans team, 1-8, Draymond Jones is gone. They've traded him. Arden Key is trending towards working his way back. Jeffrey Simmons, maybe not as much. Quandre Diggs has been released. Yeah. Kevin Winston has a wrap on his right leg or tape on his right leg. And here we are, man. Denard Wilson is,
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to be him.
But what do you always tell people? No bad days.
No bad days.
There you go.
Right? And, you know, he said no bad moments. Because I asked him just point blank, like, hey, man, is this the toughest assignment that you've had? And he said no. And he said you just got to keep showing up to work.
Yeah.
And keep taking other cracks at it. I actually got to talk to Arden Key about just the opportunity to get back in the mix and what Denard has done while he was out, while Simmons was out. And then, you know, obviously Draymond Jones was a big part of that. And Arden's like, man, I can't wait to do some of the things that they were doing with Draymond. So we'll see how that works. You still got Jahi Ward, who I think is a very unsung hero, so to speak, in this front. And then, I mean, you look at Tavondre Sweat continuing to work his way back. So Sebastian Joseph Day has played outstanding football also, and I think we got to mention him.
Yeah, he's one since he's gotten here that's not really gotten the praises sung.
Under the radar. Yep.
Very under the radar, very much a run stuffer, and kind of just clogs the lane, for lack of a better term. But you're right, TD. He has been playing pretty good football throughout his entire tenure as a Titan. So
yeah.
I don't think he's the sexiest player on the field. He's not the guy that's going to go sack the quarterback three times a game because that's just not the kind of player he is. But as far as clogging the run lanes and, you know, decreasing the pocket size on the quarterback, he's capable of doing that.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, he's capable of doing that. And he had a sack in the Chargers game, which was it the – I believe it was the Chargers game. I have to double check. But if it was, you know, you're looking against, former city. I'm sure he was happy about that. But I think when you look at the secondary, though, one of the things that he said, Denard Wilson, that is, about Jalen Armour Davis was really interesting to me. He continues to say this whenever he's asked about him, play with more confidence. Mm. And to me, you know, it's like, okay, as a DB especially, like receivers were pretty confident too. But as a DB, like that's a part of that edge that you play with. And so to not have that and to have a coach say you got to do that more, I think that's a pretty telling thing. And again, man, this secondary, you know, you got L'Jarius Sneed, and obviously he has his news that, you know, the Class A misdemeanor, failure to report a felony, and, you know, he's in that situation, and we'll see what happens. In addition to being on IR, so you got that, and then you got Daryl Baker Jr., who's, you know, he was solid last year.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like there's been somewhat of a fall off there from him. I was really expecting him to be a contributor, you know what I mean, and a key third corner that comes in, you know, give Jarvis Brownlee Jr. and L'Jarius Sneed a spell, and here we are, you know. Sneed's not MIA, but out of order,
out of commission,
so to speak.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Brownlee's in New York. What do you make of this secondary? Like, is there any hope for them?
I mean, as far as right now in this very moment, there's very little hope.
Yeah.
It's a very thin group, a very not on paper, very athletic group, which is interesting because Jalen Armour Davis especially had some success in college coming out of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, played for the greatest coach of all time in the history of college sports. And was competing for SEC titles and national championships in his time, and then has not amounted to anything really in the NFL. And you would expect him to come out and play with some swagger and some confidence, especially being kind of the number one corner on this team as of right now. But to kind of harp off what you've been saying and what Denard Wilson is saying, he's not playing with that confidence.
Yeah, and so, it's bad. Oh, go ahead.
So I think that's kind of a testament to the corner room as a whole. The cornerback, you could make the argument outside of the quarterback, requires the most confidence. As a cornerback, you have to go into every play expecting that the ball is coming your way and expecting to make a play on that ball.
Yeah.
So the cornerbacks not having the confidence is pretty much a massive problem. And I think right now there's obviously not a lot you can do about it because we're about halfway through the season. The trade deadline's come and gone. You've traded probably two of your top three corners. Your other top corner is on IR and hasn't delivered to the extent that you would hope he has. So right now there's nothing you can do about it. And without slipping into the draft talk, because it's too early for that. But
no, it ain't.
You got to start looking at some names coming out of this draft. High, especially.
Like, high.
They're going to have to invest in a first to second round corner on some level. It's going to have to happen.
One of the guys I'm really in, well, there's a bunch that I'm intrigued by, but I think Colton Hood, right?
Mm-hmm. And
just, you know, I know you say it's early for it, but to me it's never too early, right?
Yeah.
But I just love draft, and I know you do too.
Oh, yeah.
But Colton Hood is someone where, like, I could see him possibly at the top of the second round.
Yeah.
You know, late first or something like that. So there's some things they could do, you know. Terrell, you know, if he's a guy that's there at the top, you know, there's going to be a nice group, a
Caleb
cluster
Downs,
of
I think, is capable Caleb Downs. Playing corner.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, there's going to be opportunities to get guys. You mentioned Armour Davis, and I remember when they had that roster move, I was like, why not Juju Brents? I thought he would be a guy. I'm not sure exactly where he is, but, I mean, it's another kind of long corner that you want. But either way, here we are watching this team really struggle in the passing game, right? And then when you hear lazy cornerback play, when you see the miscommunications and things like that, it's bad news. And this team, they're just giving up way too many explosive plays. And ironically, that's been like – it's been like that for like 3 years, like even pre-Denard Wilson. So I don't know that you could – put it all on Denard Wilson because it's something that was happening even before he got here.
Right, but it's kind of going back to what we've been talking about for a few weeks now, TD, in that Denard Wilson can't turn water into wine. This defense that he has, obviously he's expected to get the best out of them and expected to be kind of the savior of the defense from the play-calling standpoint. And I love Denard Wilson. I think he's a fantastic coordinator, and honestly, if he was coming back to this staff next year, I would be all for it. I think he's a good defensive coordinator. But he can't do everything. And with this group, outside of Jeffrey Simmons, there's nothing really for him to work with. It's not something that is necessarily his fault. And going back, I guess, to the draft, you're going to have to invest in a corner. You're going to have to invest in some edge help, which is where a lot of the Reuben Bain talk comes from. And I don't know if I'm completely sold on Reuben Bain just now.
Me neither.
But, well, that's a conversation for another day.
We'll have that.
But right now, there's just not much he can really do. And I feel for him, but at the same time, you expect better results. And looking at this team right now, they're not getting results. I don't expect them to have results that are, you know, beneficial to them moving forward. But I did, going into the season, expect a lot better from this defense. And now that a lot of the pieces have been traded off and cut, it doesn't surprise me that they continue to struggle.
Yeah, no doubt.
Pause it real quick.
So it's just like he has to, Denard Wilson that it is, like he has to continue to find ways to reinvent the wheel, right, and figure out ways to rush the passer. So that's going to be something to watch. And obviously – the pass rush is going to help the secondary. Cedric Gray continues to play outstanding football, so that's a good thing. And we'll see how Cody Barton comes along and some of the other parts of the defense. But we do want to talk about all aspects of the team, all three phases. And special teams has been an area where it's really shined, right? And you got Chim DK doing what he does. And I love the way John Fossil lights up when he talks about Chim DK. And
yeah.
when we got to ask him a little bit about just the whole process of being a returner, I asked him about the courage and the trust that it takes, because it's like, yo, the ball is punted, right? And you're tracking the ball, and you're locked in on the ball, and then you got to look down and look at the coverage and where it is and how your guys, your gunners are doing, right? Mm-hmm. That or your corners are doing against the gunners. And, like, that last picture that you take, you got to trust that they're going to finish. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
you got to go right back to the ball and track it. And that's a lot happening in, you know, a matter of seconds. And it takes a lot of trust. And it takes courage to know that there are guys running down here to bust your block. And you still got to catch the rock. And that's kind of what I wanted to get John Fossil to speak on. Check this out, what he had to say.
Great question and a great observation. I think the punt return position probably requires the most courage. I'm biased. Out of probably any position in football. Maybe quarterback. But back there at punt return, you know, your eyes are, you're looking at a ball, you take a quick glimpse at the cover, you know, you look at maybe the ball one more time, maybe one more glimpse at the cover just to get a feel for, like, do I got a fair catch it or do I got a shot to go? And then when you make that decision, your eyes go to ball, you know, a lot of times it's ball, eyes, and then I got to make somebody miss pretty much right away. And we can practice that as best we can in practice with just catching balls and then simulating it with our gunners, you know, getting up in the face of the returner. There's no substitute for just actually game work, making those decisions. And I think Chim's, one of his best traits has been his decision-making, especially on the punt return side of it, where he hasn't cost himself a risky catch and he just gets rocked, you know, mm-hmm. he didn't fair catch it. I don't think there's a time where he fair caught it where he shouldn't have and he should have returned it. It's just... those decisions are on him. We support every decision he makes. Myself or Coach Stu has never told them, you should have run here, you should have run there, you should have fair caught it, you should have not. We just say, hey, you're on the field. You're a smart kid. You got the courage. You know, we trust the decisions you make. Don't force it. Sometimes we got to press it a little bit. I know I'm rambling a lot, but there's a lot in play with, you know, decision making a punt returner and what I do with my eyes and then where do I go when I catch it.
So when you look at that, man, like you said, you could have a bad judgment and you end up getting body rocked. And I tell you, Adoree Jackson, was it 2019, I think it was?
Yeah.
2019 or 18. I want to say 19. James O'Shaughnessy from the Jaguars was hauling tail down the field.
Yeah.
And Adoree fielded that punt, and it was one of those, like, the old Madden game with Pat Summerall.
Stick.
It was like whap, he's on his back. That's what happened, man. It was like you saw the you know, the birds flying around in the
like
circle.
Looney Tunes or something.
Yeah, it was like a Looney Tunes cartoon, man. And ever since then, he wasn't the same returning punts.
Yeah.
So, like, that tells you, like, how critical one of those hits are and how important your judgment is. And to Fossil's point, Chim DK has not done that yet, and hopefully it doesn't happen to him so we can continue to watch him return punts effectively. But that's such a key part of the game, man. And I wanted to kind of shed some light on that because this is probably – that's probably their best unit, the special teams.
Yeah, and it helps that through every game we've seen this season, it looks like Chim DK has a good grasp on how special teams works.
Yeah.
Like, he makes good decisions out there. Obviously, it's paid off. He's taken one to the house.
Mm-hmm.
He's made some really good key returns to get them in good field goal position or even the red zone. So he's made good decisions, and it's good to see that, A, he's continuing to make those good decisions, and B, that the coaching staff trusts him to do so.
Yeah, for sure. So definitely a shout-out there. Keeping it moving to the offensive side of the football, obviously Cam Ward, you know, he's the focal point. And one of the things he said that was really interesting to me was talking about – making the easy play. And that easy play, like making the easy play consistently, that's what makes you a standout premier quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you definitely want to be able to make the throws that he makes. But you also want to be able to make just be efficient, effective as a passer. And look, man, like it's second and 10. you want to rip it down the field to Chim DK on the in-breaking route, on the dig, on the six route, but maybe that's covered. Okay, that's fine. But underneath it, you got Chig Okonkwo on the slant. Just dump it to him. Yeah. Or, you know, you got Tony Pollard releasing to the flat. Dump it to him. Let them get 6 yards.
That's now called awareness.
Awareness. And now you're in third and four, and guess what's open to you? The whole playbook, including play action, which is an area where I personally, and I did a story, I posted on Wednesday, I personally think they need to do more of that. So I did the story, and I also did a whiteboard video on one of the plays that they could use. So these are things, and it has a big play channeled in along with that slant from Chig Okonkwo and the flat to Tajay Spears, who happened to be, you know, on the play side and in that draw up. But I think when you look at this whole thing, that's the thing that's going to take Cam to that next level, right? Because when you're able to take the check down, when you're able to make the easy play, you know what happens? You get more downs. Mm. And you know what happens? And it's interesting because in talking to various guys, especially like Chig, I asked him about the easy play, and he was like, these are the things that we have to be able to do because it creates more opportunities so everybody can eat. And that's the big thing, right? The more first down. And that was one of the things that I really thought was going to be critical about Kyle Phillips back in the day.
Yeah. When,
hey, man, he's a slot machine. Third down specialist is going to – even Adam Humphries. These guys are going to give you more opportunities and everybody will have more touches, et cetera, because you're getting more snaps. And I think that's the key thing. This team has to get more snaps on the offense. They're not getting enough, and they're falling behind the chains. Too many three and outs. Not enough visits inside the 20-yard line. I mean, you name it, is there. And all the things that happen, this is what leads to a team getting 13 points a game and being dead last in the league. So, look, I could do the rest of the show talking about this offense,
yeah,
but I want to end it on a touching note. And, I mean, look, this is a long quote, so to speak, you know, but John Fossil, he coached Marshawn Nealon last year in Dallas. And we know what happened with Marshawn Nealon. You know, rest in peace, rest in power. You hate to hear a story like this, but unfortunately, this has become part of the game that we cover. I thought it was really, really cool. I don't know if cool is the word. Touching is a better way to explain
meaningful.
It. Meaningful, exactly. Good, great, great. You're probably a good Scrabble player. I thought it was really meaningful that John Fossil opened up about this. Listen to this right here. We're going to go right to the break off of this when it's done. We'll be right back after this this quote and this break.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know if you guys were going to ask about that. But it's emotional for me because, you know, I was there last year, the whole year with him. Got him, you know, in OTAs, training camp the whole season. He fought through a little bit of an injury in 2024. He's just a fantastic kid. Like you just didn't see it coming. He was a mature smile and a great energy, a very willing kid, a happy kid, a good football player. And it's just crushing to see what happened. And I got a phone call Thursday morning about 5 a.m. from a player in Dallas. And, you know, you're a parent or a coach, and you get a phone call at that time of the morning or night. You know, I'm gonna pick the phone up, and not really sure what's gonna be on the other end of the line. I was informed that, you know, he had passed away, and there was more story to come on that. But I just think, you know, what we do with each other and what we say around each other means a lot. And we talked to, you know, I talked to the special teams guys about that Monday morning, just taking care of each other, and you know, the pressures and stresses that the players are under are very unique. You know, I talked to him about a couple of stories of other guys. You know, David Montgomery opened up about some of his struggles, and there's a major league pitcher that opened up about his struggles and how they overcame him, you know, through help. But we just got to be wise with what we say about each other as coaches. I think, you know, when people go on TV, whether it's players or media, what they say about players, they got to be conscious of it. They want to bring this up. I know Draymond Green, you know, apologized after he called Dak Prescott a bum. There's just no need for that. Like, if you know Dak Prescott, he's an all-time player, an all-time person. And we just don't need to be talking to each other like that as professionals, especially the players, because they're young guys. But anyways, I got off topic there. But Marshawn is just, you know, it's crushing, and I wish I could have done more to stay in touch with him, you know, over the past however many months since I've been gone. But I just feel like we can all do more and we can all do better. And I'm going to miss him. I know the Cowboys are going to miss him. And I'm just sorry for Catalina, who spent some time over at our house in Dallas because they have Bible study over there. So it runs deep. You know, and these players are family, and they're under a lot of stress. The high-performing job that they're in, and coaches are too, and everybody is. So I just think we can all do better with the words we choose to talk about other people. You know, that's a good starting point.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD. And the music fades and the lights dim. Where are we going? And now, starting for your New Jersey Nets at small forward, out of Auburn, number 34, Chris Morris.
And now, starring in the movie The Last King of Scotland, Forrest Whitaker. Come on, man, I'm digging in my wheel.
You are not going to call me the man who's sleepy and wide awake at the same time, man.
Hey, that's you. Because when I saw you, man, I'm like, man, he looks somebody like I know. That's Forrest Whitaker.
Hey, man, he's making a lot of money, so be it.
Yes, he is.
So we're looking at the bye week. This team is back from the bye week. If you were 1-8, 1-9, what would you think about the most on the bye week if you were Cameron Ward?
If I'm Cameron Ward, what I would do, first of all, number one is we talk about this all the time. They do football all day. They do, you know, meetings all day. They go to practice, do all these things. Number one, I would just get away from football. Just think about other stuff. Don't even think about it. And then maybe 2 or 3 days before, I will go back and look at the film and correct the mistakes that I made the first 9 games. If it's holding to the football, making the right reads, you know, what can I do to improve on these last, 7 or 8 games? That's kind of what I would do. I know that sounds kind of like coach talk, but when you're talking about a quarterback improving from game to game and week to week and from year to year, take the mistakes that you made this time and improve on these next 7 and 8 games.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I think if you look at areas for improvement, if you had to pick one, what would you say is the biggest thing?
You know, I think it's just holding the ball too long. I think sometimes, I want to be careful when I say this. I want Cam to be Cam. You know, that his scrambling ability and his stint in the pocket is absolutely outstanding. But you got to understand there's a time clock that's going on. You got to understand that the edge rushers are coming at you. So as opposed of, you know, being 2nd and 15, 2nd and 20, just throw the ball away and come back on 2nd down and have a manageable and try to get a 1st down. Those are the kind of things that I would tell him to work on. Just don't hold the ball so long.
Yeah. And, you know, I get it. You're holding on to it in the interest of giving your guys the routes a chance to develop. But like you said, there's a clock. And it's funny because watching ESPN, the NFL game day on ESPN on Sunday, Alex Smith said one of the coaches, he wouldn't say which coach, but he said one of the coaches that he had would have a 3-second shot clock on there. And it would beep, like it would buzz if he didn't throw the ball in 3 seconds. But he said that made him at times throw the ball in places he didn't really want to go. What do you think of that thought? Because you say speed the process up, and you're right. But how do you balance that?
I mean, you think about it. You got to let his skill set be his skill set, but he got to use his skill set in the compounds of what they're doing. Now, check this out. I'm going to give you a perfect example. If they have the quick game and it's a 3-step drop, then all of a sudden you need to get the ball out because you got to understand that the rush is coming, especially when you're going out of empty.
Yeah.
So if it's a 3-step drop, I don't want to keep scrambling when our guys are already in their routes. You see what I'm saying? If they're already in their routes and they're not there, then just throw the ball and live another play as opposed to scrambling. Then all of a sudden you don't make something happen. That's when the turnovers happen. That's why you saw some of those fumbles.
Yeah, you're right. And it's like, you know, he goes to pat the ball before he throws it. And a lot of times like that, it comes out. Who was it? I'm trying to remember who. I think it was the Bucks I was watching, and the pocket was muddy. And Baker Mayfield, he had 2 hands on the ball, and like he had it down to his side, and then he moved it up, with 2 hands on the ball. from right to left and then down to his left hip to kind of like avoid that yep. pressure, you know, that the contact. And then he stepped up too, and he delivered a strike to, I want to say it was I always do that, Emeka Ogbuka on a dig route. Yeah. And it was just like, it was perfectly worked. And those are the types of things that I think Cam needs to do in order to secure that football a little bit better.
Yeah, and the thing about it is you got to feel the edge player that's coming around, because he's not.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they'll try to have a kill shot. They're not doing that anymore. They're trying to swipe at the ball. So when they're swiping at the ball, you got to understand where he's swiping at. So when the clock is going off and you got the edge rusher swiping, he's got to understand, okay, I got to move around not just my body or get off the spot. I got to make sure my hand placement is where the swipe is not. So once he understands that and gets a feel of the clock, gets a feel of the edge guys, then that's when this game is going to really take off.
No, you're 100% right with that. So when you look at just the quick mm-hmm. game, as you mentioned, you know, that's where that footwork comes in, and they're working to get that footwork to time with the routes and things like that. I'm curious from your perspective, you know, having done that at this level, what do you remember of trying to get your routes and things to time up with your quarterback's footwork mm-hmm. and just making sure that everything was in sync?
See, I got to understand his progression. And sometimes it's funny because I coach in Montgomery Bett Academy, I coach wide receivers. And sometimes I will stop the drill and say, okay, look at the quarterback. Look at what he's doing. The 3-step drop, the 5-step drop, the 7-step drop. So this is where I need to be when he hits his spot. And as a wide receiver, if I understand that then I got to win at the line of scrimmage. I have to make sure that I get to the spot where it's according to the 3-7-5-step drop. So that's what I do to make that work, because the quarterback has a job, I have a job, and if we both do our jobs and I'm in the right spot and he takes his drop, then that's how you succeed, you know, as a quarterback receiver tandem.
You got to explain to your guys, hey, you can't cut your route short. You got to make sure that you get your spacing right. So sometimes you may have to stem a little bit outside or stem a little bit inside in order to have everything fall in sync. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize about this game.
Yeah, and then just kind of like if I'm running a naked or a boot, I got to go to my progression. So if the route it says I got to come back at 18, I go at 15, then there's not going to be, number one, a window, and then number two, you're not going to have no space on the sideline because you're going to run out of real estate. Those are the things that as a receiver and a quarterback need to understand.
Yeah, so Calvin Ridley back at practice on Wednesday. How would you handle the situation? Like, would you just throw him right back in there at Z and you know, do everything? Or would you work him back in gradually? What is your thought process with that?
I will work back him gradually. But first of all, this is where you got to evaluate your player. Because with Calvin Ridley, he comes off the ball like a madman. I mean, he's explosive when he comes off.
Doesn't he?
I would do as – he comes off like he mad at everybody. I mean, but here's what I look at as a coach. I will watch him in drills. How does he come off? How does he burst off the cut? How does he get out of his route at the top of the route? I'm going to watch those things. So if he can't do that with explosiveness, then I'm going to gradually put him in there as opposed to just throwing him in there. And that's why, you know, a coach has to be a coach to protect your players, because mentally, Calvin's like, man, I can do this. I'm good. But if you can't burst off the cut and have that explosiveness that you had before you got hurt, then as a coach, I got to protect you.
Yeah, and hamstrings are always tricky. You know,
man,
what I mean?
So tough.
That's something else to look at. When you look at Gunnar Helm, the tight end, I had asked, the guys caught 20 out of 25.
Yeah.
How important do you think it is for him to get more touches?
Yeah, he does. But here's what you love about him. It's kind of like when Steve McNair needed a security blanket, he had Frank Wycheck, because even though Frank Wycheck wasn't a burner or he wasn't a guy that's going to beat you down the field, he understood how to get open. He understood how to create separation. So now you got Cam to where you have Gunnar Helm to where he's not a speed burner, but he consistently gets open and creates those windows that you need for a young quarterback. So he might not have the touches right now, but he's still valuable to this offense. And if I'm the offensive coordinator, if I'm Bo Hardigree, I'm going to make sure that that Gunnar Helm is a part of this offense, because he can move those chains and also he can skip some touchdowns for an offense that's not scoring touchdowns.
Hey, Chris, these guys, they're dead last in scoring per game. I mean, 13.3. They are not even scoring two touchdowns a game. Like, the heck?
I mean, I just think that, you know, it's not that the receivers are not getting open. I just think that he's just got to – sometimes we got to take some chances downfield a little more. I think sometimes we'll be a little conservative on first and second down. Take some shots if they don't work and come back. But we're not built like that. The Titans are not built like that to where they got to come back from second and 10 as opposed to second and 5.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you look at the third down efficiency. That's poor, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, their time of possession is what it is, and they don't have a lot of sustainable drives because of that. Yep. Let me ask you this. As a receiver, right, like if you were Nico Collins and you're looking at this secondary this week,
oh, man.
Are there enough napkins in the world to wipe your mouth from all the slobber?
You know, yeah, it's funny because we used to do that with Cincinnati back in the day. We would circle Cincinnati. Okay, he's old. We got him, and we didn't have enough napkins. But if I'm Nico,
damn, no respect for Ashley Ambrose.
Oh, I have to beat the brakes off Ashley Ambrose, man. And then, man, come on, man. He was good, man. He was good, but I said.
He was fried chicken when it came to messing with you.
yeah. But he was a great corner. But yeah, man. See, he's trying to get me in trouble. But if I was but here's what I'm doing. With Nico, I know this sounds crazy, but they're going to have to figure out a way to box him in, maybe pay brackets. And I don't know who they're going to do that. When I say brackets, you have one at the top, you have a guy underneath to make sure that, you know, he doesn't get open. That's the only way you're going to stop him. But if you go man to man, you know, with Sneed out and, you know, different guys out. But you just going to have to find a way to stop him and come and be creative to kind of stop him. So I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to have to figure out a way to stop him to not give up those explosive plays.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think
said nap because I ain't never
when you look. Well, when Denard Wilson, when he was asked about Jalen Armour Davis, he said something that he consistently goes to when asked about him, and that's playing with confidence. So I want to ask you, when you're on the field, right?
Yeah.
I know, like, when you're going against Dale Carter, you know that he's confident. Ooh. You could feel that. Yeah. But can you feel when a corner is not confident and just out there random, just willy-nilly?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a perfect example. We were playing the Detroit Lions, and this is my rookie season. In the first couple of games, I was averaging 23.5 yards a catch. So they started
– I remember this.
And I'm saying I'm not saying that to brag or anything, but I'm just saying it. But we were playing the Detroit Lions, and they were supposed to double me, but the safety moved over to the other side, and the corner was man-to-man, and – they didn't throw me the ball, but he screamed at the safety. He said, man, I can't cover this dude, man. I got to get you over top. Got him. Got him. Got him. So that's, I knew that funny. I was in his head. Was that?
Go ahead.
You knew that you were in his head. Yo, I knew I was in his head, so I could run a one-yard hitch, and he's going to give me cushion. You know what I'm saying? That's what I had in his mindset. So if I hear that, listen, man, if I hear that and you screaming at the safety and saying you got to come over, I can't cover him, there would have been not enough napkins for me. I can't. I needed some napkins because I was chewing.
You hear that? Yeah. You know the fish grease is getting hot, man.
Ooh,
it's getting hot. You ready to fry some catfish. That's basically what that means. And look, you're going to be modest. You're not going to say it, but I'm going to say it, right? Because a lot of these, our listeners, you know, haven't seen 81 in action.
I appreciate it, brother.
Chris Sanders, for a 1 or 2 year stretch, was one of the most dangerous.
Thank you, man. That means a lot,
receivers in the game.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you your flowers. You know,
I appreciate it. That means a lot, brother.
This how I know you were a beast. Because I had your 8x12 on my wall in college. You see?
Oh, you lying, man. You tell the story.
No. So Street and Smith, Athlon, they used to come out with the NFL previews, and they would always have the 8x12s, the full-page photos of select play, a one player per team.
Man, you
any,
lying.
Any receiver,
I can't believe
any receiver.
Wow.
I'm dead serious. I had it right on my wall. I had you up there, Kevin Johnson, Carl Pickens, so many receivers, obviously Andre. There was a lot of them. So I'm going to give you your flowers,
man,
on
thank
that
you,
note.
Man. See, yeah, I ain't going to cry today, man. I mean, Tito, I need some tissue. You know what I'm saying?
He said, you going to be like Trey? You remember Trey and Boys in the Hood?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, look, man, we went off the rails, and that's okay.
No, but that's good, though. But I appreciate that, man. It's like we as brothers don't get – it's hard for – thank you for – that meant a lot for you to even say that, because I know – you know your game. You know your stuff. You're listen to me, and I'm going to brag on you. I know you got to get ready to go. But in my opinion, and I'm not just saying this because of the radio, and I tell you this all the time, I think you're one of the best reporters, not in the state of Tennessee, but in the country, of the knowledge that you know about football, the eye that you see of understanding what it is to play every position and to know each and every player. It's amazing. So let me give you your flowers, brother.
Well, hey, man, I really appreciate that. But guess what? And that means a lot, for real. And I look, there's more to come. I'm just trying to get better every day. You know what I mean?
Right,
and I appreciate
me too,
that.
Man.
But that doesn't mean I'm not going to joke on you. And this is what happened. I was watching a cartoon. And this old man with this big mustache and an afro came out. And he was talking all crazy. And I said, you know, Devin, I know you may think that's Chris Sanders, but that's not Chris Sanders. That's Cleveland Brown Sr. Without him.
Oh, my gosh. See, that's cold. That's cold, man. See what I'm talking about, man? But guess what? Aha! I got you on Sunday. So when we go on Sunday, aha! I got you. Aha!
All right, let's go. Let's have it.
Peace
Can't
out.
Wait.
Let's make it happen. Yes, sir.
This is Aziz Oshar, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You heard him, Aziz Alshire, bringing us back. Man, it's always crazy when the Titans play the Texans, because you have so many former – well, not so many, but you have a good amount of former Titans on the team there and impact guys. But you hear the intro, too, with running by Farside, and our next guest, he is a guy that's done a lot of running on his part, and that's ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter, former Louisville standout sprinter, DJ Bienna May. What's good, man?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing good, man. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, life is good. No complaints or bad days. You already know.
That's good.
So I want to just kind of look at what's coming down the road here when you talk about this Texans team. CJ Stroud, he got blasted, and guys – really, really reacted to that. Obviously, it cost him a game. What do the prospects look like as far as Stroud coming to Nashville and playing against the Titans?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play this week. He already missed Wednesday practice. And if you miss Wednesday practice, because you have to at least practice three times before you can clear it, have like a full padded practice.
Mm.
And you can't have your first practice can't be padded. So, the fact that he obviously didn't practice today, tomorrow's a padded practice, well, Thursday it is, and then he would basically be out there, if he did practice, not padded, and Friday is not a padded practice, then he wouldn't be able to get cleared. So
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if D'Amico kind of announces on Thursday that CJ's going to be out.
Okay, so that being said, Davis Mills is the guy. We saw the Jaguars game, late run to get a touchdown to help him come back. I'm guessing like the Texans, they seem like a team that just in watching them, they stick to their basic principles regardless of whether Stroud or Mills are in there. Is that accurate? And that being said, how do you think Mills is able to orchestrate the offense?
Yeah, I would say so. They want to run the football. They want to run in between the A and B gap. Like, they'll do some outside zone stuff, but they really want to get downhill, especially since CJ actually sees a decent amount of two high looks.
Yeah.
So they want to kind of take advantage of that. Obviously, Davis being out there makes, you know, teams might play them a little differently. But, overall, though, bro, like, just Nick Kelly wants to get downhill and then play action off of that. Because in all honesty, it's not like his pure drop back game stuff is super elaborate. It's very timing based. It's very, everybody got to be on the same page. It's like try to get to the stick, you know, get a first down, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not that elaborate, but if they can run the ball, if they had a change, then they're good because they want to play a by 1,000 paper cuts.
Gotcha. And that being said, when they do go for a big play, Nico Collins is typically the culprit. You look at this receiver corps like Iowa State South, right, with Hutchinson and Higgins, you know, and Noel. How is this wide receiver corps looking even without C.J. Stroud?
It's developing. Obviously, Nico is that top dog. But, you know, everybody else is kind of developing, coming along. When I say develop, I'm talking about Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. Mm-hmm. Oh, Noel, that is. But Xavier Hutchinson, obviously, is in year three. He's basically their favorite run-blocking receiver. He's actually really good at that, actually. That's why he plays a lot. He has some value in the passing game, but Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, they have more upside in the passing game.
Now,
so they've always gone along.
Gotcha. Now, when you look at the tight end group, I mean, Dalton Schultz, he had a pretty good game, you know, some clutch catches last week. Is he probably going to be the primary guy, you know, outside of Collins in the passing game?
I think it just kind of depends on how the coverage is dictated. Davis, I wouldn't see him forcing the ball to Schultz in that aspect, because last game he was spreading around outside of Nico. Nico got 15 targets.
Right.
But everybody else kind of fit in where they fed in, and Schultz had a good game. But so did Jaden Higgins. Higgins was able to get into the end zone again. So I think overall it's just going to be outside of Nico just getting where you fit in.
And the rushing attack, you said they're going to want to run the ball. Nick Chubb, Ogunbowale, and obviously Woody Marks. Is that a viable rushing attack to lean on as much as they want to?
Yeah, I mean, shoot. When Woody played the Titans last time, he had a breakout game against
Titans. Oh, yeah. Trust me, I know.
Yeah. So I think it's viable. I think it's a viable approach. I think based off of the weapons they have outside of Nico from a passing standpoint, they kind of have to lean on the running game.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you double Nico and then let the other guys kind of beat you, the routes that they're given aren't necessarily routes that threaten cornerbacks down the field. A lot of stuff maybe underneath some stuff at the sticks. So it's not necessarily a group / attack from a schematic standpoint that puts a lot of stress on cornerbacks down the field. If you notice, like, outside of the two deep shots that CJ threw to Nico, Nico and Jaden Higgins against Titans, and like a couple of plays to Jalen Noel against the Seahawks, they don't really push the ball down the field like that. And a lot of that comes from a schematic standpoint.
Excellent. We're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter DJ Bieniemy. DJ, this is one of the teams, right? They're third in the AFC South, and it's kind of like they're just kind of like stuck. Like, they're not too good, they're not too bad. What's the vibe like in the locker room? Like, what do you think it would take to push this team over the edge?
I just think more competent offensive play. I think that's it. I think that's all they're missing. It's just that. Because defensively, obviously, they have one of the best defenses in the league. I mean, every week, a coordinator, a quarterback is saying, man, that's the best defense in the league.
Huh.
So, I think just having a better offense to where they're complementing the great defense. But I think the bottom locker room is good. It's good because these guys like playing with each other. They're all good teammates with each other, things of that nature. Because one thing I learned from 2021, when I covered the Jets, in 2022, when I covered the Texans, I actually got into the locker room. Guys are going to still play hard, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. a business. Like, people have to, whether they like the coach or not, or the team is winning or losing, they got to put good film on the table so they can continue to get paid.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense for a guy to quote-unquote quit. It's not basketball. You can't pull a Jimmy Butler and just say, oh, I don't want to, like, play for this team anymore. I'm going to go out there and have effort or whatever.
Yeah, because they will cut you behind. If you
have effort, you're going to get your neck broke.
Mm-hmm. That too.
So like, you know, one thing I've kind of learned over the years, now granted, like, great chemistry does kind of sometimes put the team over the top, but you can win in spite of not great chemistry. The Eagles are a decent example of that. You know, at the end of the day, guys are going to still go out there and do their job. So I think one thing I've learned over the past few years is just the locker room is going to be the guys are still going to play hard and they're going to still try to do their job.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. And you're talking about doing their job, man. Danielle Hunter, AFC Defensive Player of the Week, man. This dude, 3.5 sacks, 4 TFLs, 4 QB hits, a forced fumble. Good Lord. I'm sure that he's really, really excited to go against this Titans O-line and what they have there. What happened last week? Like, what was it?
He just finally started getting some better ops and took advantage of it. You know, again, he's one of the best pass rushers in the league. He's a truly a physical freak in nature, to be honest. Just like the explosiveness, the ability to bend around the edge, things of that nature. Yeah, he's was just due for a big game, and he's probably due for another one, to be honest.
Yeah, no doubt about it, especially this week. And earlier I mentioned, you know, the former Titans on this team, Mario Edwards, Danico Autry. Where is Danico? Is he at the point where he's able to contribute? Because I know he's fought injuries, not necessarily this year, but – you know, the guy's kind of been in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, now he's obviously been dealing with a knee, but, you know, the nigga was in good spirits, though. Every time I see him in the locker room, if he's not smiling, I'm going to always tell him, the nigga, come on, man, put on a smile. And he'll say something funny like, ain't nothing to smile about, and then put on a smile.
Yeah, no, he so, was, you know. Yeah, he was always good to deal with, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, he's for sure one of my favorite guys to deal with in that aspect. You know, I like to always tell the guys that are mean mugging to put on a smile just because it's like, put on a smile, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that usually gets them to put on a smile because, you know, then they kind of catch themselves like, you know what? I am mean mugging a little bit too much. Let me fix that.
No, facts. That's a fact. You look at the speed, you know, Toa Toa, Alshire, and actually – Speed is his name, EJ Speed. Have you seen these guys be more susceptible to play action and getting moved out of their spot and the ball being thrown behind them?
At times, but yeah, that's really about it. I mean, that's the way most people move the ball on them, like from a consistent standpoint, is do play action if the run game can work. Because if you're just doing pure drop back, it is tough.
Right.
Because that secondary, that coaching staff, they've truly mastered like the whole concept of match coverage. Like they know how to defend it. Basically, whatever, hey, if they're doing this, this is how we're going to defend it. If we're doing that, this is how we're going to defend it. And they will do it all on the fly. Have you noticed ever since C.J. Gardner-Johnson, because you just kind of playing out of position, has been gone, like the explosive have gone down in that aspect.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're just really good at that. So the best way is run the ball and try to get them on play action.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter DJ Bienname. You mentioned Gardner Johnson being gone, and now, I mean, you look at the secondary, like Kalen Bullock is a guy I always liked. I knew that he was going to be a ball hawk, a good player, and you got Jalen Petrie sliding in at nickel. Is this the best secondary in the league, right, with Derek Stingley Jr. Leading it?
Oh, that's a good one. They're up there for sure. I'd probably say top three. I'm just saying top three just to say top three. But, I mean, they're up there for sure. I mean, they got arguably the second-best corner in the league. Tabari, in his own right, is a legit corner. I mean, he could be huge. He'll be a lot of guys' number one.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, he'd probably be a Titans number one corner.
Yeah, a lot of people could do that, brother.
Yeah. You're right about that. Bullock is obviously an up-and-coming safety. So, yeah, I mean, and Petrie at that nickel spot, like, that is where he's been able to grow the most, especially in year two, because he's basically playing the role that he kind of played at Baylor. He just has to cover a little more, and he's kind of more comfortable in the aspect. So, yeah, I would say so, man. Now I think about it, you probably do get the best second in the league.
Oh, there you go. You said it. Hey, one of the big pieces has been missing Jimmy Ward. Obviously, he's got his own situation going and working his way back. Is where is he at as far as any chance to play in 2025?
That's a good question, man. Yeah, he was ironically, when he was on, let me see, but like when he was going through the whole stuff or whatever, like we saw him, we saw him a decent amount of times, but ever since, like, he got off the commission exemplarist or whatever, like, mm-hmm. we haven't seen him around as much. So, I really don't know. I don't think so. And the thing, I'm a big stickler of this. If you didn't practice in training camp and you've missed 3 months or two and a half months of the regular season, coming back in December is not ideal.
Yeah.
Like, you're just a substitute. You are susceptible to another injury.
Right. And then, I mean, you're not going to put your best film. Like, everybody's back in the mix, and you're, like, taking time trying to work into it. It's not a good situation at all. Last thing before we get you out of here, when you look at D'Amico Ryans and what he's done for the most part, I mean, obviously, you know, he had to get Slowick out of there, get things going with the offense. It's still lopsided as far as offense versus defense. But where is he as far as through your eyes, as far as being able to manage this roster and manage this program and have them somewhat competitive?
I would say that D'Amico is, based off everything that's happened this year, he's been doing a solid job. Again, unfortunately, sometimes you're a victim of your own success. Because let's say hypothetically they finish with a winning record this year or whatever. If he, let's say they went sub 500 the first couple years, but then this year they finally broke through and got a winning record, people will be happy with that. But this year, obviously, they're sub 500. They could probably get back to 500 this week. Spoiler alert, I think Texas will beat the Titans. But, again, like, there was higher hopes for this season and whatnot. And I think that he's done a good job managing expectations and managing trying to get them out of the 0-3 hole. So he just kind of needs to tread water as long as he can until CJ gets back. So it'd be really interesting to see if the Texans let him play on a short week next week, which I still don't think they'll do that because – you don't actually practice that much during the week when you have a short week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could see a scenario where he's back against the Colts, not the Bills.
Well, we'll see what happens. That's going to be a tough game coming off this game here. But, yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on. Definitely, I look forward to checking you out. When you come through, man, we'll check out a couple spots if you want to, man. Hit me up.
I got you, brother.
All right, my guy.
Yep.
All right, appreciate it. Yeah, hit me up, man. When do you get in? So that was DJ Bienname, Houston Texans, ESPN, NFL Nation reporter. Appreciate him coming on. Man, Connor, that went fast, man. We went through and we touched on a lot of stuff, so I appreciate you kind of coming along, right? We took a ride all over the place, huh?
Yeah, man, it's always a blast to be here with you, TD. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate DJ. Appreciate Chris Sanders, man. I tell you what, appreciate each of you as well. Continue to rock with us, man. Like, we love to talk shop. We never stop recording. That's what it is. So definitely check us out, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you listen to your fine materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.